Hello and welcome to GCSE Chemistry Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most reactive and fascinating groups in the periodic table, Group 1, the alkali metals. If you've ever seen a chemistry demonstration where a teacher drops a piece of metal into water and it fizzes, sparks, or even bursts into flames, you've witnessed the power of these incredible elements. In this episode, we'll explore why these metals are so reactive, what happens when they meet water, and most importantly, how to answer exam questions about them with confidence. By the end of our 10 minutes together, you'll understand the trends, know the key observations, and have the exam technique to secure those crucial marks. So let's get started. Core concepts. Recombinants. First, let's talk about what makes Group 1 elements special. The alkali metals include lithium, sodium, potassium, rubidium, cesium, and francium. They're called alkali metals because when they react with water, they produce alkaline solutions, specifically metal hydroxides. These elements all have one thing in common, a single electron in their outermost shell. This single outer electron is the key to understanding everything about their behavior. Now, here's the crucial trend you absolutely must know for your exam. Reactivity increases as you go down the group. Lithium is the least reactive, and cesium is explosively reactive. But why? This is where you need to think about electronic structure and the forces at play inside the atom. Imagine lithium. It has two electron shells, the inner shell with two electrons and the outer shell with just one electron. That outer electron is relatively close to the nucleus, so the positive charge of the nucleus has a strong pull on it. The electrostatic attraction between the nucleus and that outer electron is quite strong, which means lithium doesn't lose its electron easily. Now compare that to potassium. Potassium has four electron shells. That single outer electron is much further away from the nucleus. But distance isn't the only factor. Those inner shells, the ones between the nucleus and the outer electron, act as a shield. They repel the outer electron because electrons are negatively charged and repel each other. This is called shielding or screening. The more inner shells you have, the greater the shielding effect. So as you go down group one, two things happen. The outer electron gets further from the nucleus and the shielding from inner shells increases. Both of these factors weaken the electrostatic attraction between the nucleus and the outer electron. When the attraction is weaker, the electron is easier to remove. And because these metals react by losing that outer electron to form positive ions, easier electron loss means higher reactivity. Let me give you the four-step explanation that examiners love to see. Step 1, atomic size increases down the group. Step 2, the outer electron is further from the nucleus. Step 3, increased shielding from inner shells weakens the attraction. Step 4, the outer electron is lost more easily, so reactivity increases. If you can write those 4 points clearly in an exam, you're looking at full marks. Now let's talk about the reactions themselves. The most important reaction for your exam is the reaction of alkali metals with water. All group 1 metals react with water to produce a metal hydroxide and hydrogen gas. The general equation is metal plus water produces metal hydroxide plus hydrogen. For example, sodium plus water produces sodium hydroxide plus hydrogen gas. You need to be able to write balanced symbol equations with correct state symbols. Sodium is a solid, water is a liquid, sodium hydroxide is aqueous, and hydrogen is a gas. But examiners don't just want equations, they want observations. What do you actually see? With lithium, you see the metal floating on the surface because it's less dense than water. It fizzes gently as hydrogen gas is released. The solution gradually turns blue or purple if universal indicator is present, showing the solution is alkaline. Lithium doesn't melt during the reaction. Sodium is more vigorous. It also floats and fizzes, but the reaction produces enough heat to melt the sodium into a shiny ball. You'll see it darting around on the water surface. The solution turns a deeper purple with universal indicator. Again, hydrogen gas is produced, which you can test with a lighted splint. It makes a squeaky pop. Potassium is where things get really dramatic. It reacts so vigorously that the hydrogen gas produced ignites spontaneously. You see a lilac or purple flame? This is a key observation. Potassium burns with a lilac flame. The metal melts and moves rapidly across the water, and the solution turns dark purple immediately. Here's a common mistake to avoid. Don't describe the fizzing as smoke or steam. It's a gas being produced, specifically hydrogen. Effervescence or fizzing are the correct terms. And don't say the nucleus becomes weaker. The nucleus doesn't change. It's the attraction between the nucleus and the outer electron that becomes weaker. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Let's talk exam technique. When you see a question about Group 1 reactivity, look at the mark allocation. A 4-mark question needs 4 distinct points. Use the structure I gave you earlier: size, distance, shielding, easier electron loss. Don't just write, "It's more reactive because it's bigger." That's too vague and won't get you the marks. Pay close attention to command words. If the question says describe, you need to say what you observe: fizzing, floating, color change. If it says explain, you need to give reasons using words like because and therefore. If it says state, keep it brief, just a fact or a term. Another common pitfall: confusing Group 1 with Group 7. Remember, Group 1 reactivity increases down the group, but Group 7 reactivity decreases down the group. They're opposite trends. Don't mix them up. When writing equations, always include state symbols if the question asks for them. Solid is S, liquid is L, gas is G, and aqueous is AQ. Metal hydroxides in water are aqueous, not solid, and hydrogen is a gas, not a liquid. One more tip. If you're asked to predict the properties of an unfamiliar element like francium, use the trend. Francium is below cesium, so it would be even more reactive, have an even lower melting point, and react even more violently with water. Extrapolate the pattern. Quick fire, recall, quiz. 1 minute. All right, let's test your knowledge with a quick fire quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a moment, then give you the answer. Question 1. What is produced when sodium reacts with water? Pause. Answer: sodium hydroxide and hydrogen gas. Question 2. Why does reactivity increase down group 1? Pause. Answer: the outer electron is further from the nucleus, increased shielding weakens the attraction, so the electron is lost more easily. Question 3. What color flame does potassium produce when it reacts with water? Pause. Answer: lilac or purple. Question 4. What observation shows that an alkaline solution has been produced? Pause. Answer: universal indicator turns blue or purple. Question 5. What is the state symbol for sodium hydroxide in water? Pause. Answer: aqueous, written as AQ in brackets. How did you do? If you got them all, fantastic. If not, go back and review the sections you found tricky. Sign off. 1 minute. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered the alkali metals in group 1: lithium, sodium, potassium, rubidium, cesium, and francium. We've learned that they all have one outer electron, and reactivity increases down the group because the outer electron becomes easier to remove due to increased atomic size and shielding. We've explored the reactions with water, the observations you need to describe, and the balanced equations you need to write. And we've discussed exam technique: structure your explanations, use the right command words, include state symbols, and avoid common mistakes like confusing trends or using vague language. Remember, chemistry exams reward precision and clarity. Practice writing those 4-step explanations, memorize the key observations for each metal, and always show your working in calculations. You've got this. Thanks for listening to GCSE Chemistry Essentials. Keep revising, stay curious, and good luck with your exams. See you next time.